are traveling through prayers of the Bible as we journey through Lent this season. And last week, Pastor Dave reminded us that the ways that we pray are sometimes very narrow. He said our prayers sometimes sound something like, "Dear God, please, 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 amen." The gift of the Lord's Prayer teaches us that there isn't just one part of our praying, but that all of the forms that we are exploring in this season and this series can and should be part of our prayers. So I get the privilege this morning not to talk about leopards, but to turn to a new kind of prayer. Dear God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. Will you pray with me? Open our hearts this day to your word alone. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In her article in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, Elizabeth Octemeyer writes, "No motif more adequately reveals the nature of biblical faith than does gratitude or thanksgiving." The 13th century German philosopher Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that would be enough." Now, last week we were dealing with prayers of confession, and I must confess to you all that when Dave and I were first talking about and thinking about this sermon series that we would be preaching through Lent, and I saw where I was on the preaching schedule, with prayers of thanksgiving, I said, no. Let's change that date, because you see, that was the day that Dave told me he was leaving. I don't want to preach about thanksgiving. Give me intercession for other people, or give me even supplication to pray for myself. But what happened in the midst of that is a transformation. I was also determined not to preach the text that we were looking at specifically there. So I walked all the way through the Bible to find another text for prayers of thanksgiving, only to come back to the one that we were originally talking about. A few weeks later, I asked to change that back, and I've been reading through many parts of Scripture, seeing over and over again this overarching theme of thanksgiving, which speaks so strongly to the ways in which God seeks to be active in our lives and calls us forth through a period of praying, thanksgiving, and into new life. I hope to share that with you this morning. Blessing and thanksgiving, rejoicing in God's good gifts, are so often tied closely together in the biblical witness. There are 800 instances in the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, where the people of faith are exhorted to rejoice in what God has done, and as we read in the psalm this morning, to remember and celebrate. The Hebrew language has 27 different words to express joy in God, rejoicing in community. Over and over in the Psalms, we read the same phrase, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever." Israel thanked Yahweh because of God's faithfulness to that country, protection of the nation and individuals from enemies, deliverance of the needy from judgment and death, for covenant love, for life itself. We hear that echoed in our prayers on Sunday morning. Paul's letters are filled with thanksgiving for God's sustaining the ministry even in difficult times, and for the people who worked in ministry with him. Octemeyer says gratitude lay at the heart of biblical faith because it formed the only proper response to that which had happened in history, namely God's salvation, God's healing of God's people, in the promise of what God can still do, even as we see in a mirror dimly. We see that in our text today. We see that in the 1 in 10. Yet here, too, there is still a little bit of pleas in the story. The 10 lepers lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." The lepers approached Jesus. They knew that Jesus could help them, and they sought his assistance in that healing. We know from our study of the history that lepers lived outside the community. They were branded unclean by the religion. They had to live apart. They had to keep their distance as they saw Jesus. Yet in this moment, there was something that emboldened them to seek healing from Jesus, a touch of divine grace. And Jesus did not disappoint those lepers. He told the 10 to go and show yourselves to the priests, to trust in the healing power that would be theirs. And the 10 went on their way to be pronounced clean through that rigorous Jewish process and to live again with families and friends. The first step of Thanksgiving prayer then starts in recognizing that we have a God who is intimately known to us, who has reached down to earth, who has walked this earth to bring healing and life to our lives and those around us. It is daring to trust that God in the midst of us, remembering and reaching for that. And yet, only one of 10 of them responds in thanksgiving. But what a response. When he realized he was healed, he turned around and came back, according to Eugene Peterson, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough. And he was outside of the faith. He was a Samaritan. Not just token thanksgiving, but exuberance, shouting his thanks, kneeling at Jesus' feet, so grateful, and not the one who could be expected to bring thanks, one outside of that community, 1 in 10. Look carefully at Jesus' response in this text. Where are the others? Were none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then a blessing to this one. Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Let's try to put ourselves for a moment in the lives of the 9 who were healed, those who did not return to give thanks. How can we understand their response, and where would you find yourself in the story? Maybe some of them were so simply overcome with joy that they ran to see their family and friends, to see people and do things that they hadn't been able to do in a number of years. Swept up in this new freedom, this healing, maybe they simply forgot their gratitude and were overcome by joy. Or maybe they were too afraid to be thankful. This new place of being was just too scary, and they were used to the old place. Even though it was diseased, it was familiar. As bad as their outcast status had been, it wasn't nearly as frightening as having to be responsible, to be citizens of whom much was expected. So maybe their gratitude was overcome by fear. All of a sudden, they found themselves in a new life, which they had no idea how to live. As a pastor, I've seen people accustomed to a life of pain or trauma or addiction, totally at loose ends when the pain is lifted and they are healed. They need to learn a new way of life and to thrive where that kind of pain that they have lived with is not at the center of their lives. One who most definitely didn't live that way was Helen Keller, an amazing woman of faith and courage who once wrote, "Now, Helen Keller might have led a fearful life, cut off by people by her deafness and blindness, but instead," she wrote, For three things I thank God every day of my life. Thanks that he has given me knowledge of his works. Deep thanks that he has set in my darkness the lamp of faith. Deep, deepest thanks that I have another life to look forward to, a life joyous with light and flowers and heavenly song. Maybe some of these lepers were bitter about the healing. Instead of being thankful for what they were given, they were bitter about what had been lost to them for all those years. Perhaps they thought they should have been healed sooner. Maybe their healed status made them ask all the more strongly, why me? Why did leprosy have to be? And why did it have to claim me? Perhaps their new freedom gave them new eyes to see not only what was ahead, but what they had missed for a long time. Maybe they figured they'd done their time and they didn't want to waste another minute of it. Where do you find yourself in this story? Can you be one in the 10 who returns to give thanks for and with your life? Gratitude cannot be commanded, but must spring spontaneously from the heart, Achtermeyer writes, as it did in the case of the Samaritan, who returned to Jesus to give thanks. Yet gratitude can also be practiced. We too can be one in the 10 and encourage others to do likewise, because thanksgiving and prayers of thanksgiving are a call to faith, a call to recognize what God has done, what God wants to still do, to receive the benefit of those actions, to nurture such benefits in the soul, and to witness to them in the world. I've been holding on lately to the quote of the week in my yoga class that appeared several weeks ago, which is, that which we focus on gets bigger. That which we focus on gets bigger. What are we focusing on? When we focus on the positive and the strength, they get bigger. And seeing those blessings energize us to address the more difficult parts of our life, which are inevitable. And to see, perhaps even more clearly, what we are focusing on. This week, my parents and my sisters went to Arizona all together on one plane. And I'm going to tell a story on my father because it tells you what I grew up with. My father called me at noon on Thursday, and I was working on my sermon. I think it was Wednesday because they were leaving Wednesday night. I was working on my sermon, and he said, in the inevitable, or not in the inevitable, in the event that the plane goes down with all of us, this is where you will find all of the pertinent documents, in the top level of the file cabinet. And he went on with a list of about 10 things that I must know when and if the plane were to go down. And then as a sidebar, he said, and I think you probably are going to want to call your niece because she's going to be hurting too. Well, the plane didn't go down. They're home safely. But that which we focus on gets bigger. Like the one leper who returned to give thanks, grace and gratitude lead to our response to share the good news in the gospel in all that we are and all that we have, to go on our way in faith as Jesus commands here. To look for those places in life where coincidences happen. Last Thursday at session, we were preparing to meet with the new members that we will receive in worship today. Now, you know that usually we receive new members on Easter Sunday. However, Art and Elena Johnson are about to have their first child sometime between now, having seen them walk into this sanctuary, and maybe March 26th, but certainly, hopefully, they all say, by Easter. So as we talked about how we would work that, it seemed right to be able to offer prayers of thanksgiving and receive these new members this day in session. And that same night, we were led in our devotions to think about the things that we are thankful for by our elder sharing that day. In sharing, we could strengthen one another, and we were reminded of the myriad of ways in which God has been at work in our midst, even in a time of real loss. And everyone shared around that table. Now, the elder who brought that devotion had no idea that we were going to be preaching about prayers of thanksgiving this Sunday. Coincidence? Or God at work in continuing and mysterious ways? In the months and weeks to come, the days to come, in our own lives, in our community, in our world, will we have the eyes to see that God at work? Are we looking and listening for those signs here in the community and into the world around us? And are we seeking this Lent to be encouraged by the witness of Scripture as we seek to grow in faith? May we gather together, talk with one another, pray with one another, listen to one another, support each other to see the blessings in our midst, the ways in which God continues to work and to lead. And let us in that be one of the 10 in a world looking for hope and grace. Be thankful as we go forth in faith. Amen.